You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere. Here are your hosts, Matthew Leach and Paul Hagan.
Hi, and welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach, joined by Paul Hagan. We'll be talking with MLB.com's Gregor Chisholm in a couple of minutes. And we're here to talk about a team that's had a really up-and-down season, the Toronto Blue Jays. Just when it looked like they were gaining some momentum, they hit another kind of rough spot. But they're still right in the mix in the AL wild card race and certainly not out of it in the division. What do you see with this club right now, Paul?
Well, as you said, Matthew, I see a team that's been inconsistent, but also inconsistent because of injuries, and I think should be feeling pretty good about itself if it can get some of its key players back. They've showed that if they are healthy, they can make a lot of noise in that division.
Yeah, I think that's really the big question right now is when these guys all come back and what they are when they come back. You know, Brett Laurie's been an up-and-down guy. You know, what do you get from Encarnacion when he comes back? But you know, we've seen this team at full strength look as good as nearly anybody in the American League. We're now joined by MLB.com's Gregor Chisholm to talk about the consistently interesting Blue Jays. And I have one simple, straightforward question. What the heck happened in Houston?
Yeah, this is a consistently inconsistent team. They've gone through multiple ups and downs this year. It's really been a hard team to figure out because every time you think that they have turned a corner and that they are on the way to solidifying themselves as a real postseason contender, they go through something like they did in Houston, and that was a rough series for them. They were thoroughly outplayed by Houston. Houston actually had a very good series and kind of show them why they can be an up-and-coming team, but the Blue Jays didn't pitch well. They didn't hit well. They've been getting some production from some of the replacements that are in their lineup with some of their injured guys out. They stopped getting that in Houston. And the guys like Drew Hutchison, who might be hitting a bit of a wall in terms of his starting innings, he struggled as well. It was just an all-around bad effort, and it came at the tail end of what was otherwise a very, very good road trip. I mean, going through New York and Boston and taking both of those series was a big accomplishment. So as manager John Gibbons said at the end of that trip, it was a good road trip, but it could have been a great one.
Yeah, I mean, I as a general rule, I hate this kind of analysis. I think it tends to be lazy and it tends to be looking for causes in a game where a lot of times things just happen. With that said, I couldn't help wondering. I was watching the last game before they went to Houston, and the broadcasters were making the reference to a trap game in football. And I can't help wondering, was there any element of, to your eye, of being satisfied or letting their guard down or anything like that, having that strong trip and then going to a club that theoretically should have been a little easier, though can be feisty. Did you see any element of that? Was there any element of lack of focus or being satisfied or anything like that? Or is it just one of those things that happens?
You know, it's interesting because it did coincide with the trade deadline, and I think that's something that the players inside that clubhouse were looking forward to for the last couple of weeks. And I think there was an expectation inside that clubhouse that a move was going to be made. And when it wasn't, And then they saw a lot of the other contending teams make moves. I mean, all those guys were in that clubhouse before that game, you know, watching MLB Network, following everything online, seeing how all the other teams were getting better while they didn't do anything. And there was definitely a level of frustration and disappointment in there. And I think it was a case where a lot of the players kind of wanted to see something happen almost for the organization to prove that they had their backs, especially kind of fighting through things over the past couple of weeks where they've been getting through a lot of injuries. And so some guys are playing through injuries on that 25-man roster right now. And so I think there was a lot of focus on that. And then, as you said, you know, coming off, that was a major, major victory for them coming through Boston and New York. So I don't know if there was a big letdown. I think there were some outside forces dealing, you know, with the certain issues going into that series. But I mean, at the end of the day, they obviously just didn't get it done. And a lot of it was the fact that their offense started hot each of those games. They had multiple opportunities to score runs, first inning or second inning of every single one of those games. But weren't able to put Houston away in any of them. They only came away with one or two runs in each of those situations. And that ultimately cost them, and that ultimately cost them the series.
You touched on some of the missing guys, and it seems like there's a lot of positive development, a lot of good news with this team as far as injuries. Where do things stand? I guess Laurie's coming back imminently. After that, how long till this team is some semblance of whole again?
Yeah, Laurie will be back today, and that's a big addition for the Blue Jays, especially they're opening up a very crucial series against Baltimore. Getting him back into the lineup is really going to improve their defense first and foremost. I think it's going to take a little while for him to get his timing back at the plate. We've seen it the last couple of years, really, when he's tried to rush back from an injury, it really has kind of impacted his performance at the plate. You know, after three rehab games, originally the plan was to give him at least a week, according to Gibbons. So they're bringing him back earlier than normal. So I would expect that to probably impact his performance at the plate a little bit. But just getting him back in the lineup on the field will really help Reyes at shortstop because Laurie covers so much ground. And after that, you're probably looking at some point within the next 7 days for Adam Lind. He's nearing a rehab assignment, so his rehab assignment will probably be brief like Laurie's. And Encarnacion is the tough one to figure out. It looked like he was actually going to be the first one of those three to make a return. He suffered a minor setback a little over a week ago now, which shouldn't be surprising because of the strained right quad. That's a tough injury to come back from, and I think he was really probably trying to push it a little bit too much too early. And so just the fact that he felt something, they shut everything down again. He's back to doing baseball activities, but he's going to be going on a rehab assignment after Adam Lind. So you're still probably talking about possibly upwards of 2 weeks. I think it'll be a little bit before that, but the Blue Jays still have at least one more week to make do without Lind and Encarnacion in that lineup.
And yet, you know, I was looking at the stats today, and even with all the worry, and even with the guys they've done without, this team is still third in the American League in runs and first in home runs. Are they getting closer once they're healthy to this being the kind of offense that I think people thought it was going to be and look like in April and May?
It really should be. I mean, you looked at that offense in May, and you kind of thought, well, even if they miss a piece or two from this mix, there's still enough talent in that batting order to really produce on any given night. I mean, that's an offense that should be able to get by without an Edwin Encarnacion for a little bit of time, even a Jose Bautista for a little bit of time. I mean, you can't miss all your big guns, but, I mean, there is an awful lot of depth in that lineup, and there's a lot of upside. I mean, they've still, you look at the top of that order even now, even without, you know, Encarnacion and Linden there, and you start off with Reyes, Cabrera, Bautista, and then, you know, Deonna Navarro has actually been hitting very, very well since the All-Star break. So the offense hasn't been the problem since the All-Star break at all in this particular case. They've actually been getting, you know, good production, surprisingly, from a guy like Munenori Kawasaki, who even come in and exceeded expectations a little bit during Laurie's run absence. So, I mean, the fact that they're getting some production there. I mean, we saw him play last year, and it was kind of next to nothing in terms of production. But this year, his average and OBP have been enough to get the job done for a while. And then they've been able to piece everything else together. You know, I think the fact that they also have Nolan Reimold and Danny Valencia coming off that bench now, suitable platoon partners on that roster, is really going to help them against left-handed pitching as well, which has been a big issue for them this year.
For all the heat they took, do you think that Valencia is potentially kind of a sneaky good addition to this club?
Yeah, I think he is an underrated move because he really is kind of, you know, he's the type of move that I expected the Blue Jays to make simply because that was, you know, it was a very glaring need to shore up the bench. And, you know, something Anthopoulos talked about last week was, Blue Jays have really been missing that since Mark DeRosa retired at the end of last year. Mark DeRosa had a very productive year during his last season in the major leagues for Toronto. And he was a perfect complement to a guy like Adam Lind. He usually only started against left-handed pitching, and at the end of the year, his numbers were very solid. The Blue Jays didn't have someone like that this year. They initially tried to get by with, you know, an unproven guy in Moises Sierra, at the start of the year, and then he ultimately got designated for assignment. Since then, they've gone through like 5, 6, 7 different kind of candidates that have resulted in these nonstop roster moves from the minor leagues. They really needed to get someone proven into that spot, and I think Valencia goes a long way to doing that. I think Reimold helps a little bit, even though Reimold's not a guy who does a whole lot. He doesn't do much better against left-handers versus right-handers. His splits are relatively normal. But what it does is it gives the Blue Jays the ability to get some of the left-handed bats out of their lineup. And that's, you know, options that they didn't really have until the last couple of weeks.
This has been an interesting team for going on a year and a half now, and that certainly hasn't changed. Gregor Chisholm, thanks for taking a few minutes to join us here on MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach. Thanks for listening.